Good morning. My watch is not quite 10:30 yet, but that one says it's past, so if anyone turns around, we'll go for that clock, I guess. welcome to this hour of worship, where we worship our loving God, and we'd like to sing with our first hymn, number 11, from the Blue Hymnal, Sweet Hour of Prayer. Let's stand, please.
Good morning. We've been commenting all week on what this lovely weather is. It's sure nice to enjoy it. Sometimes a little unsure of what it means in terms of climate change and all those issues. But we'll take the good and the bad with a smile. How's that? I'd like to welcome all of you who have gathered here on this first Sunday of October. I hope you have had a good week. As September has now ended, and now we begin to anticipate Thanksgiving weekend next weekend. This week, Thursday, September 30th, was a new national holiday. The National Day for Truth and Reconciliation honors the lost children, the survivors of residential schools, their families and communities. It was a day to reflect on the very tragic legacy of residential schools and to honor the thousands of survivors from that terrible system. What I'm about to read is a small quote and was sent to me by Brenda Duick. And Brenda, thank you. That was just bang on. And I thought I would share it all with you. It is a quote from Chief DeLorme from the Cowessess First Nations. And he writes or says, "We all inherited this. Nobody today created residential schools. Nobody today created the Indian Act. Nobody today created the 60s scoop. But We all inherited it. And we just have to acknowledge that people are healing and people are hurting. Let's try and do something about it. I thought that encapsulated the task of September 30th just so well. In your bulletin, we have a call to worship, and it comes out of our Sing the Our Voices Together, our new hymnal. I'd like to read us all to read together the first paragraph. There'll be a pause in which I'll just say two or three Indigenous peoples in this area. And this area is covered by Treaty Number 4. And then we'll read together the final paragraph. So look at your bulletins. We acknowledge that we are gathering on traditional territory of Indigenous peoples. We affirm that settlers have specific responsibilities in the journey of reconciliation with Indigenous peoples. Of Treaty Territory 4, the Nahiawak, the Plains Anishinaabe, the Nakota, and there are more. We give thanks to the Creator and to those peoples who have stewarded this land for generations. We are grateful for the opportunity to live, work, and worship here as we witness the reconciling movement of the Spirit and seek to live into right relations with our Indigenous neighbors and all of creation. Let us bow our head in prayer. Thank you, God, for everything that is true and good, for true love and good fellowships, for true stories and all who tell them, for the good earth, which is truly a home for all your creatures. Thank you for all who seek the truth. Thank you for the desire for truth that you put inside each one of us and for the gift of Jesus Christ, who came to show us the way, the truth, and the life. And yet, for all the truth there is in the world, there is so much brokenness. Telling the truth means speaking about wrongs done. This week in Canada, there was a National Day for Truth and Reconciliation. As communities of faith, we join in the lament of our nation that has sought for centuries to obliterate the Indigenous peoples. You know about the stolen land, the residential schools with their unmarked graves, the languages stamped out, the history erased. We look to you, Creator of us all, for a path to a future different from the past. Give us eyes to see reconciliation, not just as a distant point on the horizon, but as the work we do every day. You anchor our commitment to reconciliation and will help us act when we see injustice. We specifically pray for Mennonite Central Committee and Mennonite Church Canada in their work with Indigenous settler relations. Thank you for the enduring beauty and strength of many Indigenous cultures around us. Thank you that truth and reconciliation are possible in our nation and in our personal lives. Amen.
We'd like to sing a couple of praise songs, and if you prefer to sing out of a book, if you look at your bulletin ahead of time and you want to get a book, Voices Together is in the back for you to pick up. If you want one now, you can get one now as well, but the next two songs will be on the screen. And the first one is 111, Bless the Lord, O My Soul, 10,000 reasons. That's a lot of reasons to thank the Lord, to thank for his blessings. Let's stand, please.
Thank you.
Thank you. Wonderful singing. 125, shout to the Lord. Can we shout as we sing? Never cease to worship God.
My turn. Good morning. Now you've had three good mornings, and I don't know how many welcomes. I'm sure you good morninged each other and you welcomed each other. And I want to again remind us that we are welcoming whoever is here in this building. We also welcome whoever is not here. And we are all welcomed and gathered together to worship today. That's why we've come here to this place. And we have come with everything that has happened to us and to our friends and our communities and our world. So we're all responding and reacting to that also in various ways. Let's not pretend that we can enter the church doors and the world no longer exists. It is a part of us, and we carry those burdens right here to the throne of God. Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, thank you for your creation. Thank you for drawing us to yourself and for sustaining us. You are God, and you are worthy to be worshiped and honored and praised and glorified. your system or your expectation of justice is so different from our own that we simply have to bow our heads and confess that we are far, far removed from your desire for your good creation. So with humility and with honesty, we confess to you. We confess what you say about us is true. We confess our sins. We confess our known sin and our unknown. That which we hide and harbor, and that which is out there for everyone to see. Thank you for your forgiveness through Jesus Christ. But we also thank you for the task that you have given to us to continue to work for your justice and your reconciliation, that you continue this day-by-day journey against the fallenness that is this world that we live in. That's why you prayed for us on the night of your own crucifixion, that Jesus spent time praying for the disciples, because the disciples continue in this world, and that is where we find ourselves. Help us to be good, honest, truthful, loving disciples of you. The world is in a mass of confusion, and the more that we share, the more we realize that. And we need an experience of your love, an understanding of who you are, and the courage to live it out in our neighborhoods, in our communities. It would be easier to run away or close our eyes or just forget about things. But here, as we come before you, everything is open to you. You see everything. And with confidence, we come before you because we know that your intentions toward us are good. We accept your love and we accept the task that you give to us to work on your behalf in your world. The largest task is prayer, that we raise these issues to you. We lift our voice together with so many to those who are struggling with loss, with death, with the pain of a new reality. We pray for them. We lift them before you. We pray for the leaders who make the decisions on our behalf. We pray for wisdom and guidance. We thank you for prayers answered, for renewal, for health. But then we continue also to pray for those who struggle, who have not regained their health, who have not regained their liberty. We desire your truth, your reconciliation, your healing. Show us how to live out your love wherever we are. Thank you for all of those hands that have demonstrated your love in so many and various ways. Help us not to forget about those. These signs of your love amongst us in this community, no act too small for your recognition. And so help us also than to persevere, to continue to struggle against that which causes hurt and pain and death. We pray for the other churches who are also joined together in this struggle. We are brothers and sisters. We pray for them, the First United Church and Herschel Mennonite Church and their leaders. Thank you for the way that you have blessed us, for all that you have given us, and we ask for your blessing on everything that we give back to you, whether it is monetary or physical or emotional care. All of this, including our very selves, as the sacrifice, we place on your altar before you, and we ask that you use us to your honor and glory in this fallen, pain-ridden world. So with sorrow, we still continue to lift our voices as one and pray as your disciples were taught to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
The next hymn is from Voices Together Again, When Love is Found. So the challenge for me these days is to live with love and acceptance for the neighbors that I live with and even those that I don't know. So the words in verse 3, when love is tried as loved ones change, hold still to hope though all seems strange. So that's what I live with these days. Maybe others do too. Let's sing this hymn, verses 1, 3, and 5. Sing verse 3.
Scripture this morning is from Mark chapter 10, 2 to 12. Some Pharisees came, and to test him, they asked, "Is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife?" He answered them, "What did Moses command you?" They said, "Moses allowed a man to write a certificate of dismissal and to divorce her." But Jesus said to them, "Because of your hardness of heart, he wrote this commandment for you. But from the beginning of creation, God made them male and female. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall be one. And become one flesh. So they are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, let no one separate." Then in the house, the disciples asked him again about this matter. He said to them, "Whoever divorces his wife and marries another commits adultery against her. And if she divorces her husband and marries another, she commits adultery."
I'm getting comments from the peanut gallery back here. Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts as we come before you and your word be pleasing in your sight. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And I think in speaking now, as well as spoken prayer, I would just like to reiterate that the reason I pray that prayer is for all of us to be praying that prayer as we come to worship together. That it's not only the pastor who is acting and doing something on the Sunday morning, but we are all presenting ourselves before God, and we come before the Word of God to have that light shone on us and the meditation of our hearts and minds as we consider what we're hearing and what the Holy Spirit would love to speak into our lives. This is our prayer each and every Sunday morning, and probably, hopefully, every morning. So although there are times of lightheartedness and other times when things get deep and serious, we present it all as one offering. So although the title says Life at the Concession Stand, it'll take a little bit of a journey to get back to Mark chapter 10, but not too long, I hope, because it is already 20 after 11. That's for those who wonder, at what time do you start to preach and at what time do you cease preaching? Well, that's a good note to myself, but don't worry, we have all the time in the world. I like to watch the HG channel sometimes, but other times I watch the food or the cooking channel, TV, by the way. And on the food channel, there is a show called Carnival Eats. Anybody else like to watch that show? Carnival Eats. And it's nothing that I would ever eat. Maybe that's why I enjoy watching it so much. But when you go to the carnival, or when we go to the rodeo, or, you know, expo days, or all of these big occasions, or Hank, maybe when you go to the hockey games, I point to him because he talks about the hockey games that he likes to go to. Other, you know, fun events, there's always the concession stands. And this show shows what kind of food they make at the concession stands. And it's always very bad for you. Now, we know that. It's junk food, isn't it? You couldn't get a carrot at a concession stand. I don't think you could. Maybe nowadays. I don't know. But the concession is something that is not as good. And yet we love to go to those concession stands. We like to take what is not quite good for us, not the best. I hesitate to make this reference, but I'm going to do it anyway because I wrote it in pen here. The rest of this is in pencil, but this one's in pen. For those of you who watch tennis, no groaning, please. There was a particular tennis player this year who at a big tournament, in the middle of the tournament, decided that as the momentum was swinging against him, he needed to take a washroom break, which is allowed. It's part of the rules. The rules state the players are allowed to have a washroom break. And he took an extended washroom break because there is no quantity with that rule. It just says players are allowed at this point in the match to take a washroom break. And so he stayed away so long that his opponent actually cooled off and the momentum began to swing again away from his opponent. And when he came back, things had changed. Had he broken any rules? No, he followed the rules. He had lots of criticism after that, but he continued to say, I followed all the rules, I followed all the rules. That is the idea I would like for us to be thinking about ourselves also. And I would like if we would all say, it's time for me to release my grasp or my grip on the rule keeping or the concessions. I'm not saying change anything. I'm just saying, how about if we just release our grasp on the rule keeping or on the concession, spend less time on concessions and more time with God's intentions. I want to make a difference. I recognize there is a big difference between a concession and an exception. So I'm not talking about exceptions now, because for every broad statement that we make, we know there are exceptions, and we recognize those exceptions, especially in an age of diversity, recognizing that we are all very different. However, I want us to focus today rather on finding, discovering, enjoying, and embracing God's good and loving intention and saying no to the concession stand. Saying that's not really very good for us. It's not life-giving. So first of all, the concession stand, location, location, location. If you go to the rodeo, the concession stand that gets the most business is the one that's right at the gate or has the prettiest flowers or brightest neon. And so I look at this chapter of Mark chapter 10. For those of you who are checking your Bibles and saying, I don't see any connection here yet. Look at chapter 10, and the lectionary said, begin reading at verse 2, which is what Matt Dooley did. However, verse 1 is there. Verse 1 is not to be ignored. Verse 1, Jesus left that place and went to the region of Judea and beyond the Jordan. I read that and I just, okay, whatever, and hurry on to the next bit. Hurry on to the real content. Location, 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 very important, especially in Mark. I'm not going to draw a map. I'm not going to try and explain all of that to you. But this would have alerted Mark's readers and the listeners, realizing, oh, when he went to this location, he was now in an area which was ruled by Herod. Herod of Mark chapter 6 fame. If you want to go back and read chapter 6, you'll read all about Herod and Herodias. And if that still is not ringing any bells, you will think of John the Baptist. John the Baptist was a voice speaking truth to power, a voice that said, This is not good to Herod, because Herod was in a relationship with his brother's wife. And the rule keepers would have said, oh, but it's okay, they're both divorced, and now they've come together, and we're all fine and good. In this area where this had happened, and Jesus was fully aware of where he was and who was in power in that area, and then the Pharisees came to ask him about the hot topic for that day and age, I mean, the hot topic being divorce. So what do you think about this? Oh, I get these kind of questions all the time. Very dangerous questions. What do you think? And especially if it is in a larger group, in front of all of these witnesses. There was a large crowd here. In this location, Jesus was already well known. They knew who he was, and they were still eager to follow him. And there the Pharisees wanted him to answer the hot button question. When he knew that John had been killed for saying the truth, speaking the truth to power. But if you go to verse 10, then in the house, the disciples asked him again. So this is really last week's sermon 2.0. Those of you who were here and missed bits of it, or those who were not here. When Jesus is speaking to a crowd, he speaks, he gives truth, he says things, he teaches them. This was his habit. He's always, always teaching. And then in the house, let's get close and personal. Draw near to me and I will draw near to you. Do you have a question? Is something that you were taught in public causing you angst? Where it just doesn't make sense. It doesn't jive. It doesn't go together. Ask. Spend time alone in the house with Jesus. And that's where the disciples asked Jesus again. So Jesus answers. He speaks with the crowd and he gives a certain kind of teaching. And then he gives more teaching in the house. I want to keep repeating this because I want you to feel that you are not getting enough on a Sunday morning. You're not getting enough. This should be like the appetizer. This opens our eyes. This is a certain amount or a kind of public teaching. And then we can go home when we've heard enough on Sunday morning. Say, okay, I'm done, I'm out of here. That's fine. And you can go to your home and sit. Maybe sit with your family or your friends and dig into it and say, this is still bothering me. I still don't get it. And Jesus is saying, come, ask, let's discuss, let's figure this out together. The concession stand. Are we just satisfied with being in that public area, that public location? I know enough. I know about. You're welcome to come into the house. Jesus invites you inside. Number two, placing your order. After you've recognized there are different locations for the concession stand, you have to decide what it is you want. And this is where it gets a little bit dicey. What is it that you want? And the question from the Pharisees said, is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife? And the order here, the order that's placed here at this concession stand is, it's okay for me to get divorced, isn't it? It's okay, right? And Jesus asks, what was it that Moses taught you? Jesus already knows what the intention was behind placing of the order. God knows the intention of our hearts. They said, well, Moses commanded that a man should write a certificate of dismissal. And all of this gets very complicated, and I'm not going to go into the Mosaic law and the different schools of thought, because there are narrow school of thought, wider school of thought. Everything should be allowed, nothing should be allowed. And this is where I am saying, oh, do you recognize what's happening here? Do you recognize that we are taken step by step further and further away from the original intention? As soon as we have a concession, Moses wrote a concession, and he said there needs to be a certificate of divorce. Already, we didn't even notice that this was an outright, this was just like, how can this be to the men of that time? And I'm saying men, because it was the men who were then told, you must get a legal document. What? That's just my wife. It's just this. Remember last week? The least of these? God is looking out for those neglected, overlooked, overrun, least of these. In the midst of this, we don't even notice it. This concession is to put a limit on, a stop on, these men who had all of this power. You do not have carte blanche. You cannot do whatever you wish or will. You must have a good, solid reason, and then you must find a legal way of writing this legal document and presenting it to her. There are steps that need to be taken. Now, why did they even get the concession? Because of the hardness of our hearts. The intention. I want to get rid of this one so I can have that one. From the Garden of Eden, we as humans are always looking for something else, looking for something better. The grass is always greener. I want, I want, I want. And I want that, so I'll just get rid of this. Guilty. I am guilty, not in this particular context. But if I go to Value Village and I see a new something that's very shiny and glossy, I want, I want, I want, even though I have four of these at home. Oh, no problem. I'll get this and get rid of that and that and that. The same notion in relationship. The concession was actually a stop on what was occurring and a limit and a protection for the woman that was so easily cast aside. God knows the intention. Capriciousness in our relationships. Arbitrariness in our connections with each other. Because of our hard hearts, that was the command. Those were our orders. Those are the things we desire. That is our human habit. Jesus invites us to come back to the intention. Don't get drawn out by these exceptions, by these intentions, by these concessions. Don't get drawn away from good nutrition at the concession stand. Back up. Release those concessions and recognize that Jesus said God's good intention for all of us is to be in relationship with each other. That's how we were created. One commentator called it the bonding mechanism. We are created to be connected with each other, to be united and become one flesh. One. No longer two. Leave your mother and your father. Leave your home. Well, that was your first physical connection when we are birthed. Leave it. Oh, we could go on and on all day about not interfering with the marriages of our children, couldn't we? Should we? Maybe not. Let's leave that. But that is one of the aspects. I want us all to participate in this loving intention of God for us. And it only, you can only appreciate it when you're willing to let go of the concessions, or even to recognize where we have become so entangled in the concessions. Go back and recognize God's intention of joining people together, and the equality of that joining together. Even there, when he says, whoever, this is in the house, verse 10, whoever divorces his wife and marries another commits adultery against her. And if she divorces her husband and marries another, she commits adultery. What? Why are we even talking about her? She has no standing. She is the least of these. But Jesus continues to recognize the least of these. All of our concessions and the rules that we keep to make sure the concessions are in place, and all of the what-ifs we pose, just serve to pull us further and further away, and actually to continue to press down the least of these. The ones who are already hurting, abandoned, marginalized, looked down upon. Jesus said, take care of the least of these. Don't use these concessions to press them down even more. Let's recognize we have spent too much time here standing at this concession stand. Let's join Jesus when he said, God of love created us to be in relationship just as the Godhead is. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit united. Just as the church is the bride of Christ, never abandoned or cast aside. Then if you're still wondering, what is this all about? Where is this going to take us? Look at the next little bit. The people were bringing the children. The disciples were trying to stop them. And Jesus was indignant. The location of this tiny item in the midst of these other stories about Jesus gives us more understanding about what does Jesus mean when he says these things. Jesus says, don't stop them. Why do you keep oppressing the least of these? We were created for love and uniting as one, the way God has. So let's spend less time on concession and more time with God's loving intention.
We want to respond with the song and sing the story 31, Jesus, be the center. It is a prayer asking Jesus to be the center of our lives and many more things. So we will sing verse 1, 2, 3, and 4 is at the bottom. And we'll repeat the last two lines there as the repetition says. So, okay, let's stand, please. 31.
Thank you.
May the God of endurance and encouragement grant you to live in such harmony with one another, in accord with Jesus Christ, that together you may, with one voice, glorify the God, Father of our Lord, Jesus Christ.
Let us go from here with the Lord lifting us up in our daily lives. 73, the Lord lift you up and sing the journey. We'll sing it once.
Permission to podcast copyrighted music in this service is obtained from one license, license number 400100P, and from CCLI license number 1151-7309. All rights are reserved.